Turn, if you would, please, over to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We come here today desiring to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, or to hear something from His Word. And among the myriad of passages that we certainly could turn to speak about Jesus, I have chosen the passage which is before us today. And I trust that the Lord shall bless your heart as the Word is delivered and you're reminded of who Jesus is. And what I would like to talk to you about today from our passage is what I've entitled, The Word. We found it in our reading, and so let's explain the text. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, the privilege of being in your house. Lord, just speak to our hearts, give us hearing ears and listening hearts, and God, we ask that you would just speak to us and help us to understand who Jesus is, what He has accomplished for us, and we who are saved would rejoice in that, and Lord, be drawn nearer to you and be found faithful in our walk and our service. We ask if there's any here today who is not saved, that you would, Lord, show them Jesus Christ and what He has made available to them. We ask that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that they would be saved today. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and the glory for what you're going to do. We love you and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very simply, as we look into this text today, we want to think about the Word. And so let's notice verse 1. The first point of my message is that very thing, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you might say, well, what in the world is this Word thing? What's that application? Well, right away you find an interpretation if you'll just look down another 13 verses to verse 14. And you'll see in verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Does that give you an idea who it's talking about? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, as a reference. There's three references I would like to give to you in connection to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Word. So when we read John 1:1, and we notice here that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, it's talking about Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and in verse 13, there's a description in this passage about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And we find in verse 13, amidst this description, it says, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Isn't that interesting that Jesus, as He returns, that there's a name that is written, the Word of God. Go back to 1 John chapter 5, a little bit to your left. 1 John chapter 5. And I remind you, as we look at the 1 John, that the epistle of John, of which we find our text, was John the Apostle. He is also the one who is writing these things in 1 John, same author by the inspiration of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, he says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now go back to the first chapter of 1 John. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. And so John speaks very clearly in these verses, and I'll be coming back to 1 John in a little while as well, but what we find here is you go back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, and in verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is Jesus Christ. Now the term that's found in the text for Word is the Greek word logos, and that comes from another Greek word that means a word or a thing uttered. It is a speech. And so certainly this term can be used in a variety of ways in regard to speaking, the written word, or any kind of word. If you write down something, speak, you could put the Greek word logos on that. But we know by the text and by the context that we read here in John is that, and I believe that the King James translators has it appropriately capitalized, because there's a divine application. Even as we have given you those other verses in regard to who Jesus is, and he's called the Word. And so you'll hear sometimes, or you might be reading a commentary or listen to the radio or a TV preacher, and you might hear him say that Jesus is the Logos. And all he's saying is he is the Word, because that is the Word as in the text here. He is called the Word. He is the Logos. He is the divine Word of God. Now, you have to be very careful, because when we read that he is the Word and the Word was with God and he is the Word of God and all that, you know what? I have in my hand a Bible. I believe that with all my heart. This is God's Word. It's been translated into the English language, and I have an opportunity to read it. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of the Revelation, and I can read, this is the Word of God. I believe it. I believe it's true. I believe it does not have any admixture of error within it. But I do not for a moment believe that this book, the pages and the cover and the ink on these pages, is Jesus Christ. I don't believe, I do not worship the book. I don't worship the material, the paper, or the ink. But yet the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. And that's an appropriate statement. Now, when you think about the Bible being called the Word of God, and we say, well, wait a minute, Jesus is the divine Word, how does that equate to the Bible? Well, if you're there in John 1, look back just a page or so to your left, over to Luke chapter 24. The Word of God, the Bible, the central theme of this book, is who? It's Jesus Christ. Do I have a problem with calling Jesus the Logos? No, because the Bible calls him the Logos. God said that he's the divine Word, and yet I can call the Bible the Word of God. No problem, because you know what? Jesus, who came to this earth, revealed the Father. He's the one who declares the Father. He is the divine Word, speaking of divine things. This book is a book given to us by God, by inspiration. We're going to look at a few references about that in just a moment. But the central theme is Jesus Christ. Over in Luke 24, where I've asked you to turn, when those two were on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus came near, walked with them, and it says in verse 27, at the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus taught them. I mean, they had a Bible education right there that from all the scriptures. He began at Moses through all the prophets, the Psalms, and the writings, and he told them everything that applied to him. You say, well, I don't know. I don't get that. I read Genesis. I don't see Jesus. I read Exodus. I don't see Jesus. That's because you don't have very good eyes. We have a problem if we look into the scriptures and we don't see Jesus Christ in these things, because he says, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he taught about those things that concerned him. Don't get discouraged reading the Old Testament scriptures. Read the Old Testament. Understand the Old Testament. And look for Jesus Christ as you go through the scriptures. The central theme of the Word of God is Jesus Christ. That having been said, and we talk about the Word of God, and I mentioned the authority of the Scripture, turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This book is different than any other book in the world. Now, I know that there are other books that have kind of, oh, wonderful things and good writings and maybe exciting, and we might even say, oh, that person was inspired, but not the same as we find in the Scripture, because when a person of the Scripture was inspired, how were they inspired? It was by the work of the Holy Ghost. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 21, it says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the prophets, all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, prophesied as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then these things were penned down, put into writing, and it was recorded for us. All that is by inspiration. If you doubt that, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, you might have it memorized, but look there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll notice in verse 16 it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now the word Scripture means a writing. It is reference to the Holy Scriptures. And so Paul writes to Timothy, he says, you know what? The Scripture. And at that juncture, he's talking about those things which were written before him, because none of the New Testament was penned at this time. And he is writing and he is saying, everything from Moses, and we would consider Malachi, all that is Scripture, prophecy. And of course then, we know that the New Testament Scriptures are also Scripture. And Peter attests to that, that Paul had written some things and whose Scriptures are, that's hard to understand. And he called them Scripture. And what I'm saying unto you is, even though I do not believe, and you can turn over to 1 John chapter 5, I'd mentioned we're going to look at some things. 1 John chapter 5. I don't believe that this book itself literally is Jesus Christ, but Jesus is the Word, and this is the Word of God, and this is what God intended for us and revealed to us as the authority of God. And if you want to learn about God, you know where you're going to find it? You're going to find it right here in the book. You say, well, I can learn some things through creation. You can, but not enough. You will find about God in the Word of God. And so we have the Bible is the Word of God, but Jesus is the Word. And Jesus declared who God is. 1 John chapter 5, where I've asked you to turn, look once again, look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. Notice what it says, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. What's the record that God has given of his Son? It's the Word of God. And so as I talk to you, if I sit down with you and I start to tell you about who God is and talk to you about Jesus Christ, talk about your condition as a sinner and the wages of sin is death and you deserve to go to hell, the depravity of man and the hopelessness of man, the bankruptcy of man, and yet talk about who God is and what Christ has done, how he came to this earth and was crucified as a sinner though he never sinned. And he was buried and rose again the third day and he took sin upon himself and he became a substitute for sinners. I can tell you all those things. You know where I'm going to find it? Right here in the book. And I can, and if I'm going to teach you about God, I'm going to teach you out of this book. You see, the Word of God is God's Word. Carries authority. And so we know in the Scripture it tells us that in Psalm 119 it says, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. God's Word is true. I'm talking about the book, talking about the Bible. You want to know about God? Look in the book. But not only do we call this the Word because it is the Word of God, because it declares God, Jesus Christ is the divine Word. He is the one who declared of who God is. So you go back to John chapter 1, our text, and you see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we think about the Word. The Word is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, notice a little bit further as we think of not just the Word itself, but the identity of this Word, as I've already given it unto you. But it says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, I've said unto you that the Word is Jesus Christ. You say, I want further proof of that. Go over to John chapter 17, just a few pages over. John chapter 17, Jesus, in his great earthly prayer to the Heavenly Father, made this statement in verse 5. Now remember what you read in John 1:1, where the Word was with God. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, notice what he says, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Did Jesus Christ exist prior to his birth of Mary? Absolutely. Jesus left heaven, came to earth. As a matter of fact, he speaks to the Father, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. He speaks to the Father, and he says, you glorify me with the glory that I had when I was with you before the world was. And you know, those people that lived with Jesus during that time, they had a hard time understanding that. And they said, well, you're not yet 40 years old. How can you be older than Abraham and all that? And he said, well, before Abraham was, I am. And they just could not understand that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. But he is exactly that. Now, he did have a glory with the Father before the world ever began. But in Philippians chapter 2, where I've asked you to turn, it says, and in verse 7, he said this, the scripture says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus Christ, who is God, made himself of no reputation. Those words in the original language means to evacuate. It means to empty. What he did was he divested himself of his own prerogative. In other words, he laid aside his glory, the glory of God, laid that aside, and came to this earth and was born a man. And of course, we know that was a Virgin Mary. And of course, he was sinless because he had a heavenly father, not an earthly father. Now, the scripture tells us here in John 1 that in the beginning was the Word. I mean, before there was anything, there was the Word. And we've been teaching in our adult Sunday school class the characteristics or the attributes of God. Last week, we dealt with the everlastingness of God. Jesus Christ is God, so he's everlasting. So before anything ever was, Jesus always has been. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Remember, we read that three bear witness in heaven. And he was called the Word. Well, he was made flesh. He laid aside his glory. So he was with God. But then it says, and the Word was God. Now, Jesus said over in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. You know, the people at that time, they had a very difficult time understanding how in the world he could be equal with the Father. In fact, they wanted to stone him to death because he made himself equal with God. But he says, I and my Father are one. And he was crucified because of that very claim. They didn't like him. They put him to death. Luke chapter 22. Let me read to you verse 70. Because this is what it says. They said, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. So as he was being held before the court, are you the Son of God? And when he says this statement, you say that I am, is really a declaration of yes. I'm exactly who you say I am. And it says after that, well, we don't need any further witness. And then they delivered him up to be crucified, and he took him to the Roman rulers. Jesus Christ was with God, and the Word was God. Turn, if you will, and I'm going to come back to John, of course. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I want to point something out to you before we come back to our text passage. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice verse 3. It's talking about in verse 1 about God revealing truth to people. But in the last days, verse 2, he's spoken unto us by his Son. Verse 3, referencing this Son, which is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, 3. Notice what it says. Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, what's it say about the Son here in the book of Hebrews? It says that this Son is the brightness of his glory, or the glory of the Father, and is the express image of the person. Go back to John chapter 1. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you look down in verse 14, we've already mentioned it unto you, it says, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. When we saw the glory of Jesus Christ, what did men see? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know what the Father is? Look at Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the express image of his person. And so when I look into the passage and I see here that the Word was God, I want to make it very clear to you that that's exactly who he is. God, and who came and took himself a human body. God manifest in the flesh. Now, he's not a God. Some folk, the Jehovah's Witness, will say that the text says the Word was with God and the Word was a God, and they slip in an indefinite article in there that for the letter A. It's not in the text. I believe that the Greek text underlying the New Testament as which we have it is the accurate Greek text. It does not have the indefinite article in there. The translation by the King James Version is absolutely accurate. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, not a God, because they'll take that and run with it and say, well, there's a bunch of gods and so forth. No, Jesus Christ was God. He's very God. He is co-eternal, co-existent, and consubstantial. No difference between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. And I know there's an expression of them as God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Father. I realize that. But still, there's only one God. Jews are monotheistic. Christians are monotheistic. That means one God. We worship one God. We don't worship three gods. So, and I do believe in the Trinity. You say, but I looked in the Scriptures, I never found the Word. Just because the Word isn't used doesn't mean it's not taught. I do believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see in the text that there was the Word, was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. But go back to our text. So notice, as we see here, a reference in regard to something about the creation. Because it says, the same, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So in the beginning, it talks about there, was the Word. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning. And this is simply a reference to the creation. Before anything ever began, there's a beginning. Now, that's not to say God had a beginning, but we're finite creatures. We're limited. And so we kind of think of, well, the creation, that's the beginning. Well, before that, God existed and has always existed. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Long before any word was spoken to create the universe, God existed. And the same was in the beginning with God. But it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Do you understand that the Word is the Creator? Do you see that in the passage? Talking about the Word, and all things were made by Him. You say, well, I don't believe it. Turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. Book of Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 16. Speaking about Jesus Christ, because in verse 15 He's called the image of the invisible God. We know that. And He was the firstborn of every creature. We know that. That's Jesus Christ, correct? Verse 16. For by Him, what's the antecedent to Him? It's the Son, the one in verse 15. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word is the Creator. And you remember in the beginning, if you go back to Genesis, what is spoken? Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. So the Word speaks, right? So what you have here is Christ being the Creator. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. They shall all wax old as a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years fail not. Do you understand that? Go back to your text in John chapter 1. And what you see here is, in verse 3, He's called, all things were made by Him. He's the Word. Everything was made by Him. Without Him, there was not anything made that was made. In verse 10, it says, John 1, verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. That tells me that Jesus Christ was the active agent in the creation of the world by the speaking, and we know the Spirit moved upon the waters and so forth. But what do you see in the text? In John 1, I'm talking about the Word. We see an expression of the Word. We know who the Word is. The Word is Jesus Christ. He was with God. He was God, and He was the Creator. And everything that was made by Jesus Christ. Now pass on into the verse 4 and verse 5, which is the remainder of our text, and notice about this Word that He's called the Light. And you've heard that before, haven't you? In verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now again, this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that by following down in the text, because in verse 6, it talks about John the Baptist. John the Baptist came into the world, and he was to be a witness. Look in verse 7. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might through him might believe. Notice verse 8. He was not that light. John wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So, twice you have in verse 8 a reference to Jesus Christ as the light. And then verse 9, that was the true light. And of course, the King James has it capitalized because it's a reference to Jesus Christ. He is the Logos and he is the light. And it says, so he's the Word, he's the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that should come into the world. Jesus Christ is the light. And the light of the world is Jesus. And John chapter 8, let me read to you verse 12. It says this, Jesus making a statement. He spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Does that make any sense with the text that we're looking at? You see, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You know, do you realize that people in this world are walking around in darkness? Those that are lost are blind, they're groping in the dark, they're wandering around trying to feel their way through. They can't see. What they need is light. And where is that light going to come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song that we don't sing here too much, but there's a song by P.P. Bliss. And listen to some of the words. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go, wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. The chorus of that song says, come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. As a Christian, can you identify with that? Can you associate with that? Can you share with P.P. Bliss when he says, you know what, I once was blind, but now I see? Aren't you glad that the light of the world is Jesus Christ? I'm glad that he is the light, because I used to be in darkness, but the light shone through the darkness. Now I want to remind you what it says in Psalm 119, verse 130. This is what the word says. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know what the difference is? The difference is that God takes the Word of God, works it in the hearts of people, and reveals truth to them, and shows them the light. The entrance of the Word gives light. And remember, the Word of God is what? God's revelation to man to talk about Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do when we're witnessing with lost people? We give them the Word of God. We tell them about Jesus as revealed in the Word. Because what God will do, the Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What God will do is he'll take that Word, work it in their heart, open up their heart, open up their mind, and shine the light in their soul that they can see truth and understand. And for any of us who are here that are saved, we know that has happened to us. We realize that, hey, I used to be dark. I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend. But now I see. I was blind, but no longer. And so we look into our passage and we see that Jesus Christ is the life. He's the light of men. And light shined in the darkness. But it said in verse 5, the darkness comprehended it not. And isn't that true? Light came. What'd they do with the light? They killed him. They put him to death on the cross. They rejected him. And you know, men still reject Jesus Christ today, don't they? Even though we declare the light of the world is Jesus, they still reject him. I'm going to make a reference here to Matthew chapter 4. Because in Matthew chapter 4, there's a statement about him coming, and we read in our text that he's the light of the world. In Matthew 4, verse 16, it talks about his ministry in Galilee, and it says that the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. What's that mean? Why, it was completely dark. Jesus went up there and preached the kingdom of God, and light was shown unto them. Light was sprung up unto them. But you're there in John, aren't you? Turn over a few pages to John chapter 3. We read in chapter 1 in the text in verse 5 that the darkness didn't comprehend it, and it's still true today. Darkness has a hard time comprehending light. They just won't believe on Jesus Christ. You might be here today, lost as a goose in a snowstorm, and you know what? You're on your way to hell, but you don't understand it, you don't grasp it, and what we tell you about Jesus Christ makes no sense to you. You won't believe it. You know why? Because you're in darkness. You're blinded by the god of this world. Now in John chapter 3, what it says in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Who was that? It was Jesus, right? Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's true then, still true today. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now back in John, the first chapter, we think about the Word, and we know He's the Creator, and we know He's the light, and yet not everybody receives it. But back in verse 4, this light is tremendous because it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life. Now you say, oh, well, that's talking about Him being the Creator. He created the worlds, and He gives us life. I know in Him we live and move and have our being. I know that's true. But it's more than the matter of the creation. It's more than just living. We've been studying over in 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 15, we've been looking there in that text, and it mentions there about two atoms. And the first Adam was a living soul. And, you know, we have human life because we're like Adam. We're descendants of Adam. And so we have a living soul just like he did. But it says the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, was a quickening spirit. And no man can give you life, but Jesus can. Do you know why? Because it says in Him was life. Jesus is that quickening spirit. So I think of John 3:3, which is just a page over. You can look at it if you wish, where Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those words, born again, means born from above. People who are lost are dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, Jesus says, unless you're born again or born from above, you will not see the kingdom of God. In other words, you're dead and you need life. Where's that life going to come from? That life only comes from Jesus Christ. In Him was life. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, when I was, the Lord saved me, and turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. When the Lord saved me, I was dead in sins. I was blinded by this world, and I was going about my life. God brought me to a place of understanding in the Scriptures, showed me some things, and you know what? He gave me life. He's the one that brought me from death to life. He's the one that gave me sight. In Him was life, and I have eternal life today because of the life of which Jesus Christ has given to me. And if you're saved, you understand that. You connect with that. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the life. He is the light. Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? Do you have life? If you do, it's from Jesus Christ. If you don't, the only place you can find it is in Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him, the Scripture says. 1 John chapter 5, where I've asked you to turn. In verse 11, it says, this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Does that make sense? Stay right there. What do you find in the passage we're looking at? In Him was life. If you're going to have eternal life, spiritual life, it only comes through Jesus Christ, because He is the quickening spirit. And we can only have life in His Son. But the last part of verse 4, stay there in 1 John, because I have one verse for you. But in 1 John 1, it says, and the life was the light of men. You know, only because God moves in our hearts and gives us life can we see and understand anything that's spiritual. And so I'm glad for that. I'm glad how God moves and works. But when I think about the fact that He says here that life was the light of men, I wonder if that's not also a statement in regard to the Lord. Because not only is He life, as we just read, but He is also the light. We call Him the light, and further on in the text, it calls Him the light. Thus, Jesus Christ would be the life and the light of men. So if men are ever going to see, it's going to be through Jesus. If men are ever have life, it's going to be through Jesus. May I submit unto you that as the Creator first made light to shine in the darkness of our universe, The same Creator causes light to shine in the darkness of a human heart. So as the Creator brought forth life into the world, the same Creator still brings forth life. But this time it's eternal life, and it's life to the soul. And of course that means to all who are in the world that they might be saved. Those who are saved, light would come to the world. Jesus Christ is the Word. Now I ask you in closing, do you know the Word which reveals to you the Word? Let me restate that, or repeat that. Do you know the Word which reveals the Word? You see, we have God's Word, the Bible. But what's it tell us? What's the record of? The records of His Son. Have you looked into the Word to find the Word? Our text says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So then I ask you again, is that Word a light to your soul so that you can see the true light? Remember, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. Do you believe the Word? Is it light? Does it bring light to your soul so you may know the true light? 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. John said this, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Do you have true light? Do you have true life? All comes from the Son. The Word of God, the Logos, who was made flesh, dwelt among us, crucified as a sinner, buried, risen again. One of these days He's coming back. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. If you're lost today, the light you need is found in Christ. You're dead in sin, the life you need is in Jesus Christ. Would you be saved today? And may we who are saved rejoice. Hey, He has given me light, and He has given me life. May we rejoice in that, and may we be found faithful as His servants. Let's stand, we'll sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, if God speaks to your heart, convicts you of your sin, He's drawing you to the Savior, and He's revealing these things to you, opening up your heart, the light's entering in, dawning upon you, the light's coming on. You know what, that's a good thing, and I pray that you would respond to that and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd be saved today, and right where you stand, you can do that. You call upon the Lord. Trust Him. If you need help, you come. We'll be glad to help you, but walking in the aisle won't save you. Repenting and believing on the Lord will. And then you who are saved, rejoice in what you have, thank Him for it, and pray for those who are lost that they would be saved. Father, thank You for the day. Bless Your Word. Speak it to our hearts. Move by Your Spirit. Save the lost and encourage the saved. Thank You for what You've done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?